Mendacity! Greetings, America! Greetings, truth seekers! It is I, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, sitting in again tonight for Mike Malloy. That's right, it is I, your humble and very friendly investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fella, says me. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Mike is under the weather, but he will be back with you on Monday. Well, that's presuming that the weather agrees. I talked to Kathy earlier today. She said there's an ice storm heading towards Atlanta. Hopefully it doesn't hit on Monday and knock out their electricity. But if all goes well, they'll be back with you on Monday. Until then, you got me. We got a big show ahead for you on this Friday. Glad you could be with us here. Also, you should know we've got a chat room running over at bradblog.com, of course. Lots of folks already in the room. The lovely Desi Doyen, who may join us on air later on tonight, depending on how things go, depending on how much you want her to. She's keeping an eye on the chat room. She'll be answering your calls as well tonight at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Write it down. You're going to want it. You're going to want to get in on this conversation. You're going to want to take advantage of using your airwaves, your public airwaves, before they are taken away from you completely. Last night we talked about this crazy first day in Congress. And it was crazy, and it was really funny. And, indeed, it's much more fun when Republicans are... bless you, Tony. Yeah, we could hear that. We heard you. All right? Okay. Yeah. It's always funnier, I would argue, when Republicans are in charge. Oh, except for that, you know, causing war, destroying the nation, killing all your jobs and your livelihood and all of that stuff. But other than that, it's pretty funny. And so we talked a lot about that yesterday because they came in on their first day of Congress. Immediately, just, you know, reading the Constitution was the first thing they decided to do in the House, and they screwed it up. They screwed it up from top to bottom. There was a protester. They took away her First Amendment rights right away, just took her out, hauled her out of the House after she was screaming. All she was doing was screaming for help from Jesus. That and contesting Barack Obama's citizenship. So that happened. And then you had these other two knuckleheads, Pete Sessions of Texas and Mike Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, who thought instead of taking the oath of office with everyone else in the Congress, they would just stay down in the Capitol Hill Visitor Center, run a fundraiser, which, by the way, is against House rules. So they already screwed that up. But so instead of taking their oath of office, they were down there and they actually turned to the television set, raised their hand, and took the oath of office. And I can't remember who it was. Who I heard today talking about this. Maybe it was Stephanie this morning. I can't remember who the heck it was. But, you know, if you could raise your hand while the oath was being administered on television, then we would all be members of Congress right now. Jackasses. But the problem was they actually turned around and they were voting on things and putting bills forward. They actually voted on a couple of bills yesterday. One of them came forward and read from the Constitution that they had violated by not taking their oath of office. Anyway, no big thing other than it's hilarious and we could use some hilarity. So what they had to do today was actually put forward a resolution somehow nullifying their two votes. Because they voted without having taken the oath, having violated the Constitution. And they put forward the resolution and they passed it to sort of take away their votes and do a do-over. Not an auspicious first day in Congress. And it was also pointed out that when they passed this resolution today, the Republicans also had to violate one of their own new rules, one of many that they have already actually violated. But this one they violated because they brought the resolution to the floor. They gave everyone about 4 minutes to look at it before they did a vote. And this was after the Republicans had promised there would be no votes on any bill unless it was posted online for 72 hours prior to voting on it. So they broke that rule, too. They broke the Constitution. They broke the rules. See? Much more enjoyable, except for all that death and destruction stuff. So we talked about that last night quite a bit. Today, we may get a bit more serious, because in the process yesterday... I need to play this, Mendez. Well, let's stick with the comedy here for just one more second from the Congress, because this was... This is Steve King today, Representative Steve King, the genius from Iowa. Not even sure what the hell he was talking about, but he was talking on the floor today. And, here's what he had to say. He used the word mendacity. I don't think mendacity means what he thinks it means. Steve King on the floor of the House.
I would make the point that the leader and the speaker have established their integrity and their mendacity for years in this Congress.
Okay. Well, mendacity actually means lack of truthfulness. So, there's that genius, Steve King. That was amusing. All right. So, with all of that really hysterical stuff out of the way, while we were talking yesterday about all of this and having some good laughs at the expense of the GOP, because God knows we need to every now and again, a couple of things came up throughout the course of that discussion last night. One of them, of course, was that woman who spoke out, who yelled out during the reading of the Constitution when they got to the natural citizen clause, and she yelled out, accept Obama, help us, Jesus. I don't know what help us, Jesus actually has to do with the citizenship of Obama. But anyway, it was just, you know, these birthers. It was one of these zombie lies. These zombie lies that never die, no matter how much information you put out there to counter the nonsense. They never die. But we had two more zombie lies came up. I was, after we left the show last night, Tony, our engineer here, and Desi, we went out, grabbed a burger at Bob's. And we were talking about the fact that we were spending last night talking about the same crap that we had thought, that I thought we had dispatched with over the past year. We had callers, some right-wing callers calling in. And by the way, I'm delighted to hear from right-wingers because it always gives us a chance to correct the misinformation that's out there. So I know they drive Mike crazy. He doesn't like to hear from them. I don't mind. But we had a couple of them last night. The first one called in was wanted to tell me that Sarah Palin was right about the death panels in the healthcare bill. And, of course, she wasn't. But anybody who pays attention to real news and reality-based world knows that is untrue. However, that means that most of America doesn't know it's untrue and actually thinks there are death panels in the healthcare bill, or that there were until the Democrats were so shamed by Sarah Palin that they had to take them out. Later on, we got a call. Guy Joe was his name, calling us from Tennessee, and Joe was convinced that the healthcare bill was a government takeover of the private healthcare system. And of course, when I pressed him to say, "Well, how has the government taken over the private healthcare system?" Because, you know, they haven't. What they've done is they've made everybody in America who doesn't have private health insurance has to go out and buy it now. So it's a huge gift to the private health insurance companies. And I press them as, well, how have they taken away how's the government taken away private health care? And he couldn't answer. Of course he couldn't, because it's a lie. It just didn't happen. I wish it had happened, frankly, but it didn't happen. So it's one of those zombie lies that here we are talking about over and over and over, years later now, and I suspect will continue to. Why? Because there is so much misinformation out there, so much disinformation out there. Yes, Fox News, of course, is out there purposely disinforming the nation. But it's not just Fox News. It's CNN. It's MSNBC. It's NBC. And I will talk about this as the hour progresses. And I'm also going to play you, after we take a break here, I'll come back. I'll play you a clip from a short video that we made back in September of 2009 called The Rise of the Teabags, when I went out and talked to some of these teabaggers who were demonstrating out here in Los Angeles. Not much has changed in those couple of years. Maybe things have gotten worse. So I'm going to talk about that and just how bad and how badly disinformed this nation is and, oh, what the hell we're going to do about it. We're also going to talk later on the show about the aflocalypse now. Yes, the birds falling from the sky. We're going to get an answer. What the hell is actually going on? Going to talk with Charles Choi of the National Geographic and see if we can get a definitive answer. If, in fact, the birds falling from the sky all over the world means the world is ending. We'll find out. Some more voter fraud news. Yes, some crazy Republican vote fraudsters. All of that straight ahead. A whole lot more. Hope you're going to stick with us. Our phone numbers are 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. You trying to give me a send me a message, Tony? Oh, Republicans. Okay. Hey, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy here. I think I ran a little bit long on the previous segment, so I'm going to hold my this clip from this teabagger video that we made back in September 2009. I'm going to hold that until after the bottom of the hour and then give you some other, I think, remarkable news about just how misinformed this nation is and not just the Fox News listeners. So I'm going to get to that in a moment. But there was also one other point that I missed while I was out there making fun of Republicans. Because, we have to do that from time to time. But we don't have to do it all the time, do we? That was just a message to everyone else in the media who treats, you know, politics like sports. It ain't sports. It matters. But for a minute or two, we'll continue with the sports metaphor. Because the other thing they forgot to do yesterday when they were reading the Constitution in the U.S. House, they forgot one of the clauses. Apparently, a couple of the pages stuck together, and they missed Article 4, Section 4, which, oddly enough, seems to be one that they would have wanted to read. Here's what it is, Articles 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Geez, you would have thought they would have made a, you know, purposely gone out of their way to read that one. And shall protect each of them against invasion. Something else they would have liked to have read. And on application of the legislature or of the executive, when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. So I'm sure they're sorry they missed out reading that one. Very important one, if you're a Republican. Let's take a quick call, and then we'll come back, and I'll give you some more of that information. Todd from San Francisco, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Brian?
It's Brad, and where are you, in the subway or what?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was stopping by to get a little refreshment on the way home.
Oh, you're calling from a bar. All right. What's up?
I was listening to Mitch McConnell today.
Yeah.
And the hypocrisy of these Republicans is just making me so infuriated that I just wish people would call them out on it. The prime example is the first thing the Republicans do when they get into office is they say they're going to repeal the Health Reform Act.
Right.
And isn't it correct that the Congressional Budget Office showed that it's going to save our budget?
Yeah.
And
sure.
Deficit by, what is it, 65 billion dollars?
Well, actually, if they repeal, the Congressional Budget Office found that the repeal bill that they are proposing will actually add $230 billion to the deficit over the next 10 years. So, yeah.
Here's the hypocrisy. Yeah. How many times during the election cycle were they saying, you know, we have to reduce the deficit?
Yeah, they don't care.
This is our primary goal.
Right.
And they also, you know, push for tax breaks for the rich. And their entire goal, in my opinion, is to, you know, get the tax breaks for the rich, drive the deficit up, and then try to cut a lot of government programs. You know, they don't like government, so they run it horribly when they're in charge, and then they blame, you know, the government for all the problems, when in fact, you know, I think they're problem number one.
Well, yeah, you're of course you're right, and the fact is they are called out on their hypocrisy. They don't give a damn about the deficit. That was a scam to get elected. They didn't care about it during the 8 years of Bush. They don't care about it now. Otherwise, they, A, wouldn't repeal health care, as you point out. They wouldn't bother, they wouldn't repeal health care, and they wouldn't raise lower taxes on rich people who don't. It blows out the deficit. So thanks for your call, Todd. The problem is not that there is that they're not being called out on it. They are being called out on it. The fact is, I'm here calling them out. Mike is here every night calling them out. There is this tiny, tiny, tiny sliver of progressive media on our mainstream public airwaves that you can find where they are being called out. The problem is the rest of the media, and I'm talking the rest of the media, the rest of our public airwaves, and I talk about it all the time, but I have to keep talking about it, the stuff that the majority of Americans listen to while they're sitting in traffic. You know, more people listen to Rush Limbaugh in a day than watch Fox News' entire primetime lineup at night. And that is Rush Limbaugh only. So they are being called out. The problem is our public airwaves are being used to continue the lie. So what we end up with is the most uninformed electorate you could possibly imagine, at least for a civilized society. And that's what we're looking at, and that's what we're going to be talking about after this break, just how unbelievably misinformed this nation continues to be, and those are the voters that are deciding your future. Big show tonight. Stay with us. Brad in for Mike. Going to have some WikiLeaks information later in the show, some new WikiLeaks information also later in the show. You're going to want to stand by for that, and it concerns Twitter, the Twitters. And you can also be following us on the Twitters. We are The Brad Blog. If you're over on Twitter, please stop on by, add us, follow us. We are mouthing off every day, 24 hours a day over there, and we would love to hear from you there as well as the bradblog.com chat room, which is up and rolling and hopping tonight. Quite lively. A lot of folks in there. Stop on by and say hello. Go to bradblog.com. Click through on the very first, the top item, and you'll get to the live chat room. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, talking about these zombie lies that came up last night during the show. Folks calling in, right-wingers calling in, who I'd love to hear from, but they are so unbelievably misinformed that is absolutely maddening. So let me get to one call, a fellow who I don't believe is terribly misinformed, and then I'll let you know, I'll give you some information on just how unbelievably screwed we are, not because people are stupid, at least not in my opinion, but because they are misinformed by our media. But first, let's go to Bob in Portland. Hey, Bob, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's up, brother?
Hey, keep up the good work. You and Mike do a fabulous job. I just love every time you guys are on the air.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate that.
When I first saw that big gavel that Boehner had the other day, I thought of a keg on the end of his stick, you know, because he's quite the boozer.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Nancy left him
that
a note
stick,
on there.
That stick may have been a straw. I'm not sure. But
That's a good way, too. You know, Nancy left him a note, though, and it said, if this stays this large longer than 4 hours, call a house doctor.
Oh, brother. Okie dokie.
Yeah, Boehner, boy, he's something else, isn't he?
He is indeed. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call and the not very good joke, but it was good enough. Thanks, man. Have a good night.
Take care, Brett.
All right. So a couple of years ago now, September 2009, the Teabaggers were just kicking off one of their latest, I don't know what the hell they were doing, one of their tours. It was Tea Party Express, and they called it Tea Party Express 2, and they had a bus tour that was going across the nation, and it kicked off out here in Southern California. So Des and I went out with a video camera, and you can see the entire video over on YouTube, or we link, of course, from Brad Blog. But speaking of how misinformed these people are, I've played this clip before on this show, but it just fits in perfectly once again because we've got these zombie lies that never die. And I'm going to give you some details on that in a minute. But this was September 2009. I was talking to the Tea Party folks out there, and I was just talking to all of them. And, you know, this guy was a very nice guy. He had a sign that said, impeach Obama now, in September 2009, and I wondered why. So I asked him about it.
Barack Hussein Obama, do America a favor and resign? Why should he resign?
Why shouldn't he? This guy's a socialist. He wants to take our freedom, take away our liberty.
But tell us all the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away. Listen to this.
Go ahead, tell us.
Okay, wait a minute, I got to... No, all of these are the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away and should resign. And here now, some of those freedoms. Give it to him.
For one thing, he wants to take away our freedom of speech.
He does?
Absolutely. Instead of fighting in Afghanistan, he's over here fighting against FNC, Fox News Channel. So
how does he want to take away their freedom of speech? Go ahead, tell him how he's taking away their freedom of speech.
By turning them off. By just saying, you know what? We can't have free speech. We're going to turn you off. If it's not my way, it's a highway. But
Barack Obama has turned off FNC, Fox News?
No. But if he could, he would.
So he's not taking away freedom of speech.
Well, he sure would love to. He would sure love to take away the freedom of speech.
Okay, so he hasn't taken away freedom of speech.
He has not. But
tell us all the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away. Get a load of this. Tell him all the freedom.
Well, for one thing, he's taken over the car industry. If it was up to him, we'd be driving this little...
He's taken away the freedom for GM to declare to go out of business,
right,
is what he's
right,
done.
Right.
He's taken away the freedom for those workers to lose their job, basically, right?
That's right. And he's taken away the people, you know, that want to make a lot of money. It's like they want to tax the devil out of them, you know.
But he's lowered, actually, 85% of Americans' taxes, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Sure he has.
But he has, hasn't he?
I don't think so. Absolutely not. No.
If you made less than $250,000, he's lowered your taxes.
Yeah, right. That's what he says, but he's a liar.
But that's what he did do, though, didn't he?
No.
I mean, because I want to get a list. I want to get a list of all the freedoms that he's taken away. So the freedom of speech he hasn't done and the tax thing, I don't think, yet, right?
All right.
But what are the freedoms? Here's a list of the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away.
If this man could take away all of our freedoms, I think he would take away our freedom to do anything and everything.
Thank you very much for your time and for speaking up.
There you go. So, you know, I gave the guy every chance in the world. I really did. And like I said, he seemed like a nice guy, a nice fella. All the people I met there actually were very, very nice. You know, I didn't find them to be evil. I do find the people who are out there manipulating those folks to be evil. But these people were not. They are just misinformed. And they are misinformed, disinformed across not just Fox News, where there is, as this University of Maryland study has now found, there is a startling difference. If you watch Fox News, you are more likely to be much, much, much worse off, much more disinformed, much more misinformed than if you get your media from anywhere else. But even if you get it from anywhere else, these numbers are still incredible. So we had heard about this. This study came out, I think, last week or so. And all the headlines were, oh, Fox, watching Fox makes you stupider. Well, it does, but it's beyond Fox. It is the entirety of the media. So the guy I was talking to in that clip just now, that was from a short film we made called Rise of the Teabags. You can search for it over on YouTube or at bradblog.com to watch the whole thing. It's interesting and funny, I would like to think. And enlightening, but so we were talking about the taxes, and the guy says, oh, Obama's raised our taxes. Well, here's from the actual University of Maryland study. Here are the facts, okay? Although the stimulus legislation included about $288 billion in tax cuts, this was not the understanding of the majority of voters. Instead, a modest majority, 54% of voters, believe there were no tax cuts in the stimulus legislation, while 43% knew that it did include tax cuts. Okay, so 54% of the nation believed there were no tax cuts in the stimulus legislation, despite the fact that there was $288 billion worth in them. So as part of the stimulus package, still reading from the Maryland study here, as part of the stimulus package, federal taxes were reduced for almost all American households, just as I told the guy in the video. In order to quickly support consumer spending and thereby assist the economy, the reductions were delivered by lowering withholding from regular paychecks, which made the tax cut less notable. That's right. George Bush, when he cut the taxes, he sent everybody a letter, wasting money to do it, sent them a letter saying, hey, you're about to get a tax cut. It's coming soon. Watch for the check in the mail. And then he sent them one lump sum check. Because it's good politics to do that, but it's not necessarily good for the economy. It's better to cut it out so to give them a little bit more back in their withholding in their regular paychecks so they will spend the money instead of put it in their bank for savings. Back to the study here. When asked what change, if any, had occurred to their income taxes since January 2009, only 10% of voters were aware that their taxes had gone down. A substantially larger number, 38%, even believe that their federal income taxes have gone up during the Obama administration. Another 48% thought their taxes stayed the same. Interestingly, those with incomes below $25,000 were the only income group in which a plurality, 50% to 40%, believed correctly that the stimulus legislation included some tax cuts. Only people making less than $25,000 knew that. Majorities of all other income groups were mistaken. So the well-educated, the well-off, the wealthy, they all thought that, 10%? Voters were aware that their taxes had gone down 10%? This is our mainstream media? This is the job they're doing? Yes, of course, the Democrats should have been out there selling it better. But the media, it's the media's job to tell the story. They ain't telling the story. In fact, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, enacted in February of 2009, this is the month after Barack Obama came into office, it was designed so that $288 billion of the full $787 billion would take the form of tax cuts, almost a third. $237 billion were towards individuals, $51 billion for businesses. Thus, approximately one-third of the economic stimulus initiated in 2009 came in the form of tax reductions. The Tax Policy Center estimates that the Obama tax cuts saved 97% of U.S. households, on average, $1,179 in 2009, and the program continued in 2010. Yet only 10% of voters, people who voted this year, who voted in the Republicans into the U.S. House of Representatives, 10% of them were aware that their taxes had gone down. Now, that feels to me like a mainstream media failure. And I don't know that you can blame it all on Fox News. But by the time you add in Fox News and then talk radio, which dominates, absolutely dominates the airwaves as far as where people get their news from. While Democrats look the other way and they say, well, we got the internet now. We got the Brad blog. That'll be good. That'll take care. No, it doesn't take care of it. You got Rush Limbaugh. I don't even want to go through all the list. I mean, I could list 20, 30 different right-wingers who are out there on our public airwaves, lying to the public, misinforming them, telling them that your taxes are going up because it's the Democrats. So the point that you get this perfectly nice guy, this tea bagger, this tea partier that I talked to, that I played that clip from, perfectly nice guy who thinks that his taxes have gone up. Look, whatever you think of Republicans, and some of them are evil, no question, but whatever you think of Republicans, they are not all stupid. There is a reason why only 10% of voters were aware that their taxes has gone down. And that reason, I would argue, is the media. Words that are the media. The failure of our media. And now the failure of our lawmakers to do a damn thing about it, especially when they had the chance. Over the last 2 years, over the past 4 years, they didn't do a damn thing to restore our airwaves, to take them away from the corporations, give them back to the people. So the people continue to be misinformed. More of that misinformation straight ahead. Brad in for Malloy. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman warming your Friday evening, live from the left coast. Glad you could join us. We're talking about media misinformation and why it is that we're in the soup that we're in. You know, and I got to tell you, I hear them calling up to talk radio shows all the time, you know, saying, oh, these people are so stupid. They're never going to get it. They're so dumb. I got to tell you, guys, it's not that they're stupid. It is that they are being purposely misinformed. Purposely misinformed. And we can yell and scream about it all we want. And we can say, oh, well, look what Fox News said today. Listen to what Rush Limbaugh said today. And the next hour, I'll play a piece, something that wasn't Fox News today. I was like, geez, no wonder we're in this mess. But so we can yell and scream at those folks all we want. But who we ought to be yelling and screaming at are the folks who are doing nothing about it. The Democrats, Barack Obama, who had on the first day of his, I've talked about this before too, had on, and I'll keep talking about it, had it on his website, his White House website, January 20, 2009, talked about reforming the media and reestablishing ownership of the media and making sure that the corporations who have sucked up all the licenses around the country are still serving in the public interest and make sure there is diversity in the ownership instead of just two or three corporations who own almost every inch of the bandwidth in this country, allowing them to go out and put BS out across the airwaves. To the point that we've got the most unbelievably misinformed electorate who then come in and choose these knuckleheads who we're now looking at serving in the U.S. House. So this University of Maryland study, more details from it on health care reform and the deficit. This comes from the University of Maryland study. Again, not just Fox News listeners or watchers, but voters as a whole. The Congressional Budget Office has concluded that the health care reform law would not increase the deficit and would modestly reduce it. In fact, we had this, we heard this week, the CBO came out and said that repealing it would cost about $230 billion over the next 10 years. But the perception of most voters in the election last November was quite different. Asked about their own views, three-quarters of voters, that's 75%, departed sharply from the Congressional Budget Office, saying that they thought the health care reform law would increase the deficit over the next 10 years. Oh, they did? Where did they get that information? Are they economists? You realize these are the same people who are complaining, that bill is 2,700 pages long, nobody read it, we don't know what's in it. That's what the guy called in last night, continuing the zombie lie that the government, it's a government takeover of health care. So his opinion, of course, because he knows these things, never mind the Congressional Budget Office, whose job it is to figure this stuff out, 75% of voters thought that the health care reform law would increase the deficit over the next 10 years. Only 23% said that it would reduce the deficit. There were no significant effects for differences in education on these questions about health care reform. So the truth about it, in March 2010, the CBO released an estimate of how the then-pending health care legislation would affect the deficit if it was passed. CBO calculated that the net effect through 2019 would be to reduce the deficit by $124 billion, reduce the deficit by $124 billion. Beyond 2019, the CBO estimated that the Affordable Care Act would reduce the deficit by roughly 0.5%. of GDP. And yet, 75% of voters thought health care reform would increase the deficit over the next 10 years. Now, how the hell do you suppose that happened? Where did they get that idea? When I talk to progressives about this, one of the things they say is, oh, don't worry, Brad, we got more media than ever. We got the internet. No, that ain't doing the job. I want to be in the car of every driver, on every highway, on every street in America. I want progressive voices to be available for the truth to be told on our public airwaves. For free. Not on the internet, not on satellite radio, but on our free public airwaves. Who's going to do something about it? I'll keep talking about it every time they let me come on the air. I'll keep talking about it because that is what's going to make the difference. Much more straight ahead. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Glad you could join us as we burn up these airwaves. Stay with us.